A sex and love addict.
Yeah,
it's really great to be here. I've not been to this meeting in a couple of years, so it's nice to be here. There's a lot of new faces, so I guess I'll just start from the beginning. I grew up in Oklahoma and knew that I had some gender stuff going on. I wasn't quite able to label it as being trans, though obviously now I have. But at the time, what I knew was that there's something about me that makes me different from the people I see around me, and that difference is not okay. That was the message that I got from people. So I grew up feeling really set apart and looking for some place, any place where I could feel like I belonged. And at a pretty young age, I found online porn, and there were queer people in porn, there were trans people in porn, there were people who I felt some connection to. I remember like going to school dances and thinking like, you know, the nice couples like dancing together and getting along, that's not for me. I belong in this sort of sleazy world online that I come home and get onto. I came out to Los Angeles after college and had tried to fit in really hard in college and gotten into a ton of relationships. But I was always relying so heavily on my partner to like make me feel okay. Meant that I made unreasonable demands on partners because they had to be available. It meant that I cheated on partners if they weren't available. So I came out to Los Angeles feeling like, you know, college was a mess. I know I've got some gender stuff going on. I need to get this all figured out. And with the help of a therapist, sort of came to this like, okay, I guess I'm trans. I guess I'm going to start this. But I went to a couple of events in my community and still felt that like, this isn't really for me. I still belong online doing the sleazy things. And by that point, my acting out had progressed where I was meeting people online, having random hookups, ultimately going to sex clubs. And I came to realize like this place that I'm belonging, feeling like I'm belonging, is creating a lot of problems for me. First off, I'm just miserable. Like, I feel really low. I hate that I'm doing this. I can't stop doing this. At the time that I came in, I was skipping work 2 days at a time to go to the sex clubs. And so I came into the rooms and immediately felt like, okay, this might be somewhere I belonged. And my sponsor told me the first step is admitting you're powerless. And I was like, great, I can do that. You know, I'm well aware that I'm powerless. I took off 2 days of work this week to go to a sex club on a Tuesday morning. If you've ever been to a sex club on a Tuesday morning, you know that you're rock bottom when you're walking in that door. So I had no problem with that, right? I had a little bit of a problem. I was like, you know, I don't really want to be here. I entered the program 8 years ago, so I was 24 at the time. And I was like, I'm still in my 20s. Maybe I can let this ride a little bit longer. And I heard two things from fellows that were really helpful. One is, you know, nobody has to be here. None of you all have to be here. I don't have to be here. I'm choosing to be here to make my life better. I can leave at any time if I feel it's not working. The other thing that, and it actually says this in the AA Big Book, it's like, you know, if you think you're not an alcoholic, like, go to a bar, have a few drinks, see what happens. Right? I did that experiment a dozen times after I first walked into my slum meeting. I'm like, but what if I just tried hooking up with, you know, somebody one more time, and one more time, and one more time. And eventually I accepted, okay, I'm powerless over this, and that my life has become unmanageable. The second step, my sponsor's like, now you have to accept that a higher power can help you. And I was like, okay, absolutely not, right? No chance. I accept that I'm powerless, but the solution can't come from the big G word, right? It can't be God. And I had this whole long speech for my sponsor about, like, you know, all the philosophy books that I'd read, and I took a class, thank you, I took a philosophy class in college, so I thought I knew everything. And my sponsor patiently listened to this whole thing and was just then like, how's all that going for you? Like, are you doing well on this diet of Nietzsche that you've been feeding yourself the last 5 years? And of course, no, I wasn't, you know. I couldn't stop the addiction, so I had to find a higher power. Whether I wanted to or not, I needed to find a higher power. So I kept working the steps. Step three, following the higher power's will, is an ongoing practice, right? I have gotten a lot better at it over time, and but yeah, there's still some times when I think, I don't want to find higher power. I don't want to follow higher power's will. But I do my best. Step four and step five broke me out of that isolation that I've been feeling, that sense of things are not for me. All these things that I never thought I could tell anybody. I mean, I couldn't tell my best friends that I was going to sex clubs instead of going to work. But I sat down and told my sponsor everything. Everything that I swore I would take to my grave and never tell anybody. And, you know, I've now told three different sponsors and three different programs through doing fourth steps. And in each case, they just said, okay, I've been there too. I understand. And I started to feel a sense of, like, maybe this room, this is a place where I belong. Step six and seven, I'm still working on my character defects. I continue to work on those. Which is another great thing about the program, is that the work never really stops. I've been off bottom lines for 7.5 years. But I'm still working all the time. I'm still taking daily 10 steps and continuing that progress. Steps eight and nine, you know, making amends was really, really challenging for me. It was very stressful. The amends process helped me let go of the guilt that I was carrying about how I treated people in this addiction. And I truly do feel that the greatest of my amends is that I keep coming back, that I sponsor people in this program, that I help myself stay out of the disease, and that I help other people who are struggling with the same disease to the extent that I'm able. Step 11, I hated sitting still. I hated meditation. It's a practice. It's not something I do perfectly. And I'm going to come back to step 12. I want to say after step 5, I started sober dating, and my first sober relationship didn't go great. I was not fully sober. My sponsor gave me the option to start after step 5, and I was, you know, I was rearing to go. I was like, yes, starting sober dating right now. I think in retrospect, I would have waited till after steps 8 and 9. I would have waited to work on my defects, to do a little more healing. Because ultimately, I broke up with that partner, and it wasn't until I went back and finished the rest of the 12 steps that I met my partner, who I have now. My partner and I have been together for 3 years. We moved in together 1.5 years ago. And she's amazing. I love her very much. I don't feel this sense of, you know, I'm not good enough to be with her. That's 1 minute left.
Yes.
Thank you. She accepts me as I am. I'm able to share openly and honestly with her. And what I want to close with is step 12, service. What I've found is that if I'm being of service somewhere, that's where I really belong. Those are the places where I really get to be myself, to show up as the best version of myself. So if nothing else, I think the reason I keep coming back 8 years into program is I'm still working on all of those things that I mentioned I was still working on. But also, I get to keep being of service. I get to keep helping others, which is the greatest joy, which is the place where I find myself, where I align with my higher power. So yeah, that's what I got. Thank you so much for listening.